what's happening. Just listen to the radio. To the Maine Outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine Outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Well, welcome to the Maine Outdoors show, and this is Bob Lehman, your host tonight, and we have another great show ready for you listeners, and thanks so much for tuning in. We're coming to you over the Blueberry Broadcasting System from Studio 7 on 103.9 FM in Bangor, 101.9 FM in Augusta, and 95.1 FM in Rockland. We have our usual boys in the control room, Jimmy Layton. Hello, Jim.
Good evening, Bobby. Welcome aboard, everybody. Going to have a great show tonight, really good one.
We have an excellent one, so don't tune us out. Man, you got to listen to this one.
I'm all excited.
Yeah, you should be.
And Norm is, too.
Yeah, I bet he is, yeah. And also, Jimmy, they can tune in on the Internet, can't they?
Yes, they can, WVOMFM.com.
Tom,
and look for Maine Outdoors.
Okay, Norm Plord out the tech room. Say hello.
Good evening, Bob. How you doing?
Doing great.
Great weather for ducks.
It is. Did you get to fishing down the Grand Lake Stream this year at all in the fall?
Not in the fall. No. Didn't go down at all.
Too busy. Been hunting.
Well, getting ready to retire and I'm lining up my ducks.
Did you? Okay, folks, we have a great guest tonight, and it's Alvin Terrio. Alvin is president of the Rocks and Minerals Club, and the name of that group is Penobscot Mineral and Lapidary Club. And that means Lapidary Club? I've never heard that before. What does that mean?
It means working with stones.
Working with stones. Lapidary Club. And they've got a show coming right up, haven't they, Alvin?
Yep, they do. On the first week in November, November 2 and 3. Right in Brewer Auditorium.
There you are. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, well, welcome to the show, Alvin, and we'll be talking about rocks and minerals in the state of Maine and beyond, I understand, after talking to Alvin earlier. Alvin, as you know, you've probably heard of him, he runs that fly shop up in Stacyville, Maine, and he's been up there for years, and he raises all these different kinds of birds, and we'll talk about that, too, if we get time. And right now, I must say that the show is brought to you in part by the Northwood Sporting Journal, and they sponsor our next segment called The Outdoor Digest. And number one, I wanted to talk about a couple weeks ago, we had Mark Fowler on, and we talked about some of the missions he was on in Ecuador. And I had some ladies ask me afterwards, we didn't talk about birds, Jimmy. What do you think of that?
Oh, my word.
Oh, my God. How could
we not do that?
They were upset.
I bet. Well.
So I talked to Mark about that afterwards. And how about the birds in Ecuador, Mark? They must be, what he said, there's birds of paradise, and those are beautiful. And you probably know about those,
mm-hmm.
Alvin.
Yeah, I do.
And there's parrots and parakeets. And that. But Mark said that he's not really a bird man, so he really couldn't identify a lot of them. But he said, let me just say this, there's a lot of birds, and they're beautiful.
And beautiful, yes. Yes.
So that's that taken care of. Number two of this evening's subject is V. Paul and Di, the usual host here, and as you know, V. Paul Reynolds, is up beyond Jackman, I guess it is, hunting moose.
Again.
And I haven't heard if they've got a moose yet, but they've been up there for 2-3 days now, I guess.
Hope they have better luck than they did in Colorado.
They only get one. They were out in Colorado for 4 or 5 days. I think there was 4 or 5 guys, and yep. Di was there, too. Diane is Paul's wife, and they got one elk, and I don't remember the guy's name who got it, but I think he belongs to the Air Force or something.
Air Guard, yeah, he's a fellow
you know him?
Yeah, I don't remember his name, but he's a good friend of Scotty's.
Yeah,
Scotty Reynolds.
Well, he got one, so some of the boys are going to have some meat anyway.
Sure. But
you ever eat moose meat elk meat?
Elk. Once I did.
Once
yeah.
did you? I
yep.
never have. I thought yep. that I can recall. They've been getting one elk a year, but every time they go, they seem to get one. So everybody gets some. Well, I didn't get any. But I always get some moose, though. Everybody gets a moose a little later on, and just you've had all kinds of moose.
Absolutely.
I used to eat a lot years ago. They were hit by cars and so forth when I worked with the other wardens and so on.
Yep.
God, I was only in my 20s back then. Can you imagine that? How old were you when you were you were a former warden?
Right.
For how long?
20 years. I retired in 98.
Yep. And you took care of a few moose, I suppose, back then. And you got 12, hit by cows, and you got called out in the middle of the night and all this stuff.
12 and a half years on Rip Dam on the Golden Road. Sometimes you get four a week.
Man, I'll bet, huh? Yeah, I'll bet on the Golden Road. Yeah. Lord, yes, yep. I know it. Well, number three on the subject, let's get to it, is the Grand Lake Stream. And I just mentioned that we were looking up how much water they're running now, and of course they've dropped it now to about 300, and all through the fall season they had it up around 500, 550, which was way too much water for good fishing, but everybody caught a few fish, and there was a big crowd down there, I understand. I was down there earlier in the fall season, end of September, and a few days in October, I guess, 4 or 5 days in October. We caught anywhere from, 3, 4, 5 salmon a day, almost all males, and some of them were really beautiful fish. They were handsome. And the fly that we had the best luck with, believe it or not, wasn't the Golden Retriever. Do you sell Golden Retriever?
We do, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a good fly at Grand Lake Stream.
Yeah.
Really good. But we used it a lot, and we got some on it, but the best fly, you'd never believe it, was the woolly bugger. White woolly bugger.
White, yeah.
White one. Yeah. Now, I don't know what they thought that was, but they hit it, so... So we began to tie him right there on the spot, you know. So Jimmy says get close to the mic, so I will. Okay, now we will get to the giveaway time. And it's the question of the week. And the question will get you a prize of, I usually give away one of my hand-tied flies. But Alvin has brought down from a show about a half a dozen beautiful hand-tied flies. Wow. That he's going to give away from his shop in Stacyville. And did you tie some of these, Alvin?
No. All of these were tied by two of the girls that tie for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, they're beautiful. There's some good ones here. There's a maple syrup. That's a pretty steady one, I guess, up there. Predator nymph. That's a good-looking one. It's kind of orange and golden. And then we have one here that's big trout only. Is that weighted?
No, it's not weighted, but it's a size 6 hook, so it's pretty heavy.
Yes, yeah. And then we have another one here that is it's called the mop fly. It looks like a beetle.
It's actually a caddis imitation, and the head is made out of tungsten, so it's made to sink.
They're beautiful looking flies, folks, and that'll be the prize. If you answer this question that Alvin has ready to go...
What is the main gemstone?
The main gemstone is the question. And we'll be back with more of Maine Outdoors and hopefully the answer to that question and a beautiful prize of a bunch of beautiful flies here. We'll be right back with Maine Outdoors with more right after this. And welcome back to the Maine Outdoors Show. This is Bob Lehman, your host tonight. Paul is moose hunting with his wife, Di, way up above Jackman somewhere. And so the minions take over when the boss is away. And Alvin Terrio is here as our guest tonight. And, man, this is going to be a great show, folks. I mean, we got a lot of people who are going to call in on this one. I know the number to call, of course, is 1-800-966-1039. And... wait a minute, did we give the... We didn't give the...
Yes, we get a couple callers.
We got a couple calls waiting. Couple
callers. Yes,
right.
We do.
Okay, and the first one, are you there, caller?
Yeah, Mike from Howland. How are you?
Mike from Howland?
Yep.
Okay, yep. Mike, you have an answer to our question?
I'm going to take a guess and say tourmaline.
What do you think, Alvin?
He's correct.
So what's he win?
He wins some flies.
He sure does.
Good for you,
well, great job, Mike. Thank you so much for calling in, and be sure and leave your address, okay?
I will.
Okay, Jim out in the tech room will give you we'll talk to you and take your address, and we'll be sure and get that in the mail to you tomorrow morning. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay. You been fishing?
He's gone.
I've been hunting. He's gone. Well, that's too bad. Anyway, we'll get back to the show here. And Alvin, our guest tonight, and we're talking minerals and gemstones and all that good stuff. And the number to call after we get into this thing is 1-800-966-1039. And so, Alvin, the first question is, you've got a show coming up on rocks and minerals.
That's correct.
And that's in Brewer Auditorium.
Brewer Auditorium.
Next weekend, the 2nd and 3rd. Admission is how much?
The admission is $2.
Yep.
And children under 12 are free.
Well, there you go. And You are the president. I'm the president of this particular club, the Penobscot Mineral and Liberty Group. And how many members do you have, roughly?
We have about 130 right now.
130 members. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier. There are quite a number of mineral and groups, you might say.
Yeah, there's quite a few different mineral clubs. There's Portland and Augusta and Waterville, and there's quite a number of clubs.
In April, I guess so.
And there's a lot of people that like rocks.
So there's a lot of them coming to your show on this weekend.
Yeah, we usually have over 1,000. I'd have to look at the number. 1,000 to 1,400, something like that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How many booths do you have?
There's 20 or 22 vendors.
22 vendors.
Yeah.
And would they be putting a display of stones and things?
They have incredible displays. You can have everything from minerals to jewelry.
There'll be jewelry there for sale.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
What type of jewelry do you have?
There can be anything from just jasper jewelry right to tourmaline jewelry.
Yeah. Yeah, and they make it right at home and down in all kinds of, like, bracelets and...
Yeah, we have some really, really good lapidary people, and they have quite a selection of stuff, and we also have quite a lot of minerals from all over the world.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All over the world.
Yeah. It's pretty big outfit.
You know, you get into this thing, I suppose it's really... How long have you been, like, into this mineral business?
Just about... just 6 years. Basically, my wife bought out a lapidary business, and we started...
Studying.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot to learn there, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, my daughter, of course, was a geologist. She went to University of Maine here at Orono. So it was the best... place you could have gone, and that's how we would meet her at the club while she was going to school. And before we knew it, you know, I bought $300 worth of rocks to put in my aquarium, and I said, you know, there's something to this.
Yeah. Is there money to be made in this?
But it takes a lot of work. It's like any craft. It's your time is the value. Yeah.
And you travel all over the state and beyond to prospect, you might say.
Yeah. It's hard in the state of Maine because the state of Maine is all privately owned land.
Yeah.
So I'll fly over to Arizona where there's some public lands. I'll go over to Nova Scotia around the Bay of Fundy because you can do the beaches.
Commercial flights?
Yeah.
You don't have a private plane, or
no.
Well, you might end up with one someday.
No, I can guarantee you that's not going to happen.
You'd rather somebody else do that, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, do you ever run into like gold and silver?
Gold is in most of the streams in Maine. I don't go after gold. We have some of the members that do a lot of gold panning. I understand there's a permit structure for it now. The state is regulating it to some degree.
Panning gold.
Yeah, panning gold. Western Maine is a really good place to go pan for gold, but there's been gold found everywhere.
Yeah, I know out in Glenburn, I've heard that they do pan gold in that area.
Yeah, we had a gold panning training session over in the Piscataquis with some of our members, and they found gold right there in the river while we were training. So,
have you ever found any yourself, like nuggets or anything?
No. What happens with me is I get interested in the other rocks while you're panning, and before long, I'm collecting the other rocks, and the heck with the gold, you know.
My gold goes right back into the dirt.
Yeah, I know. There's just so many interesting rocks out there. You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me once, is there any silver in Grand Lake Stream? I know you spend a lot of time down there, they'd say, to me.
Yeah.
And I said, I tell you, I know there's, I haven't seen any gold there, but there is a lot of silver in those Salmo Salar.
Yeah.
So there are different areas of the state will have different kinds of minerals, you'll say.
Yes.
And so you have a favorite mineral that you like to look for.
Well, if you're in southern Maine, that's where they have the pegmatite granite and they have the tourmaline. But for that,
what was it?
Pegmatite granite is what
certain kind of granite.
Yeah, that the tourmaline is in.
Yeah.
Now there's one public place in Auburn where you can go, but most of the other places are private, and you actually pay the miners to be able to go through their dump and find what.
Through their dump.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange name, but they do miss a lot. You know, and sometimes they miss some very valuable pieces.
So. No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, there's quite a bit of mining going on in the state right now.
Not as much as there could be, but there's a lot of there's several companies trying to mine in Maine, but Maine is a very strict when it comes to removing the minerals because our water quality is so high.
Oh.
So, you know, a lot of times if you mine the minerals, you affect the water quality. So, you know.
And you can't just go anywhere and pick.
No, you can't. Like I said, it's privately owned land. And most of the bigger landowners, some of them require a permit. Some of them don't. Some of them won't allow you to go. I like to go to gravel pits. Usually you can get permission from gravel pit owners a lot easier. Mm-hmm. And if it's a glacial pit, you can have rocks that have been dragged across the mountains. And so you can have all kinds of different rocks. And, of course, Maine has just a ton of fossils.
You know. Back in the glacier times, they were hauled here from
elsewhere
and dumped.
Yeah, and then the fossils, of course, are, you know, the state of Maine was a mile under when the glaciers were here. So there's a lot of bivalves and shells.
I once knew a fellow that was into, I don't know, he had rocks that it had insect imprints in them.
Yep.
From Maine.
Yep.
And he was a quite collector of those things, and he was a young fellow, and he graduated from Maine, and he was a sort of a prospector, you might say, but that's what he looked for.
Yeah.
And he gave me some of those, and they were really like spiders imprinted on flat rocks and stuff. Do you run into things like that, too?
Yeah, a lot of shells. I haven't seen too much. I've had the petrified sponges, but mostly shells. There's quite a lot of it. I mean, it's just finding the time to go out and look for it.
See what you get, huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's like finding something, huh?
Yeah.
Like finding something valuable.
Well, the thing is they call it semi-precious because it isn't really valuable till you put the work into it.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a $1 rock, but you can probably make a $100 necklace out of it if you're willing to put the work and time to polish it and to form it.
You made any discoveries yourself, you might say?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, sure.
So you don't tell anybody what you discovered?
Well,
not really.
Actually brought it to the university and had them analyze it and showed the club members where it was. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, sure.
And so they went there and maybe found some too.
Yeah.
That is something.
Yeah.
What are some of the different kinds of say, valuable stones that you look for in the state of Maine?
Well, of course,
there's the tourmaline.
The tourmaline are basically in southern Maine. And then you have a number of people. There was a gold club at one time over in Chester. I don't know if they're still in operation, but they pan for gold pretty much everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two big ones that people talk about. But there's what they call agates and jasper that are very common.
And agates?
Yeah, agates and jasper.
That's what you call it. You mean jasper.
Agates.
What's an agate?
An agate would be silica made. It would be like you would say quartz.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Milky quartz, white quartz. Those are all silica-based, and those would be called agates. Jaspers would be more like the They're not as clear, but they're colorful stones, and they're hard enough that you can actually work them and make jewelry out of them.
And other stones, too, that you look for?
Well, of course, there's chert, which they use to make arrowheads, you know.
What is it?
Chert. Chert. C-H-E-R-T. Chert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they use they make arrowheads out of that. You know.
Have you ever found any arrowheads?
I haven't. I don't really look for them because you're not supposed to take them.
Oh, you're not?
Well, they belong to the Native Americans. So, and I know some people that have gone around where the campfires are and they find broken ones because, of course, it's easy to break them. And, of course, they just chuck
leave
them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just leave them. So that's not a problem. But I, of course, when I was at Rip Dam, I worked around some of the people from the university that were looking for Native American artifacts.
Yeah.
And there was just all kinds of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you can't take them. I thought you...
Well, they could. They would mark them. And my understanding was is Great Northern got the credit and the university got to display them. That's what I understood. So,
how about, like, I found one time, and I still have it, is a part of a jar. I don't know whether it looks like it was made out of stone or some kind. And it's the top part of a jar and partly down one side. The top, you know, where the round part would be, and then set down to one side, and it was worn quite a bit, and it looked like it was. I picked it up in the side of the Grand Lake Stream one day down there fishing salmon, and it looked like it had been there for years, and it looked like something that probably an Indian had made at one time,
probably grinding grain and stuff where they would have like a hollowed out section.
And we're back, and this is Bob Lehman, your host tonight, as Paul is moose hunting up north there someplace, and as far as I know, they haven't had any luck. But I know the percentage of getting one is pretty high, so they probably get one for their throw. Anyway, we have a guest tonight that is really very interesting, and the number to call to talk to our guest is Alvin Terrio from Stacyville up around Patton area. And we're talking about the collection of rocks and minerals and so forth around the state and beyond. And it's quite a hobby in Maine right now, and a very interesting one, I find, and probably you will too. So if you want to call and talk to Alvin, the number to call, again, is 1-800-966-1039. And if you're local, you have to dial the whole number still, 1-800-966-1039. 1039, and you hope we do give us a call because this is a very interesting hobby. A lot of people, I'm sure, would like to get into it, and they probably would like to know just what they would need to get started, Alvin, into this hobby.
They just need to be able to walk. It's a really inexpensive hobby.
That's the big thing, isn't it?
You get to go in the outdoors, and a rainy day is actually better than a sunny day.
Yeah, because it's nice. Fresh stuff all washed off for you.
Yeah, and when the rocks are wet, you can see the color better.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Do you carry a little bottle of water with a squirt?
Yeah.
We could squirt?
Yeah, sometimes you do. It's a good way to identify a lot of rocks.
Yeah.
Sometimes you carry a little digger to move the rocks, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a bucket.
In a bucket. And a bucket to put them in.
Yeah.
Then you go home and sort them all out and... See what you got.
Yeah. A lot of times, and then every once in a while, you get really lucky and you find the leverite.
What's the leverite?
You should have leverite there.
What's that mean, leverite? It's not variable.
It's not really. You're not going to be able to do much
like
with it.
You were talking earlier, like a piece of a brick.
Yeah. Which I found one time and thought I had something real valuable.
They do. They're all, you know, all... smoothed off on the edges and so on.
Yeah,
that little small piece. And see, look at that! Isn't that pretty? That's kind of an amber or something.
Yeah.
So do you head for the shore a lot of times? There's a lot of stuff along the shore.
Yeah, my wife likes to walk the beach, so we go to the beach.
When the tide goes out and so on.
Yeah, and even if it's in the middle of January and February, there's no snow when the tide goes out.
Sure, that's true.
Yeah. And so it's just a nice day.
What about the mud? You have to go where there's no mud, right?
Right. You have to go where there's rocks.
Yeah.
Rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of islands in the Bay of Maine, a lot of islands and a lot of shore.
Yeah.
And do you have to get permission to go to certain shores? Or what?
Yeah, it's kind of a technical thing where technically you're not supposed to, well, you definitely can't pick on any of the parks. And there's a My understanding is there's a federal regulation against mining, and the definition of mining includes picking rocks on the coast. But when I've talked to some of the code officers, they said, you know, if somebody's just picking rocks, they really have never said anything, you know, unless you show up with a backhoe on the beach, you know, they really don't seem to mind. There are some landowners that claim clear to the low water mark, and those things, you know, happen. You have to.
Well, I know real estate in Maine in the tidal water.
Hmm.
If you had a piece of land, because I had one once, I owned to the low water mark.
Yes.
And we have a caller right now, and are you there, caller?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your name, please?
Yeah. Dan.
And where are you calling from, Dan?
Oh, right here, Orono.
Right, Orono. You have a question for our guest tonight, Alvin Terrio?
Yeah, very nice. I have a question I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
Semi-precious stones that are here that have value. I know that there are some. I had one pointed out once that it was at a purple color. And but, you know, do we get many geodes up here? I honestly don't know. And
my understanding is there supposedly are some geodes in the blue Bucksport area. From talking to somebody, I don't know if it was because they had trains that dumped railroad fill and just happened to dump geodes. I have seen a few that were embedded in rocks that were actually amethyst filled, but I don't know. You could have probably worked a week before you could have chiseled it out of the rock. I mean, I never bothered with them, but.
Any more, sir? Does that answer your question?
Well, how would you ever... Well, okay, so they're not that common. Well, if you had to chisel a geode out, it probably wasn't dropped by a drain, you know, fill for tracks.
Yeah, the ones I found were embedded. The ones that were around Bucksport, I understand, were just on the beach near the railroad bed.
Huh.
Does that answer your question?
Isn't that amazing?
You all set, sir?
Well, is there any other... I had somebody point out a purple stone and saying that it was semi-precious. God, I didn't know. Are you familiar with any such a thing?
It could be amethyst. It could be a different shade of jasper. You know, it's pretty hard. There's a lot more than you think. There's way more stones than you think. I mean, they have a book written on it, on the different stones of Maine. They have several books, actually.
That answer your question, sir?
Oh, good enough for now. Thank you,
okay.
Guys.
Thank you very much for calling in. Appreciate it.
All right.
And have a nice night, sir. Thank you. The number to call again is 1-800-966-1039 if you have a question for our guest on gems or fly tying or something like that. He has a big fly shop up there in Stacyville that he's had for how many years, Alvin?
We opened the shop in about 98, but of course I've been selling flies ever since I was about 15 years old.
Knee high to a grasshopper,
yeah.
My father always said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're still selling flies, I guess, lots of them right now.
We supply about 20 stores there.
Oh,
flies.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember a fellow by the name of Coates?
Ty Coates.
Ty Coates.
Sure.
Is he still living, do you know?
Yes, he is.
Does he live up around Fort Kent?
Yes, he is.
Last I knew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a good friend of mine for years, and I haven't heard a thing from him. I've been trying to call him to see if he was still kicking, you know.
As far as I know, he is, yeah.
Yeah, well, if he's listening, Ty, give me a call, okay? 1-800-966-1039. We'd like to talk to you. And right now, Alvin, we've got to take a couple of minutes for a little break. And it's one of our sponsors is General Appliance, formerly Perkins Appliance in Brewer. And the Maine Outdoors program is brought to you in part by our friends at General Appliance in Brewer. And this company is owned and operated by Al Elkin, and they are located at 91 Center Street in Brewery. Very easy to find. Come across the old bridge from Bangor, take a right and a left, and you're on Center Street, and they got practically the whole block there. And they offer a full range of appliances, both gas and electric, and they would welcome being known as your all-around appliance dealer, offering the servicing of anything you purchase there, which is no small deal today. And some of the things that, of course, they also have is what do they have, Jim?
They have the compost toilet.
Yes.
Ride the wave. Yes, sir.
Thank you, James. I was looking for that.
Appreciate it. Fit for a king
and
queen.
Okay, so be sure to stop in and see Al Elkin over there, the General Appliance in Brewer. He's been one of our sponsors for over 20 years. And he was telling me the other day, he said, you're the only ad that I have. And he says, it's all I need. And that's quite a thing, isn't it? That's
yeah.
Very
wonderful.
Nice. Very nice of him. Nice man, Al. So
he
go
sure
see
is.
Him. And they also sell parts over there, too. So stop in and see Al Elkin and all his staff of handyman over there. And they've got some great ones.
What's his phone number?
Phone number? Well, you tell me.
Well, it's 989-4071.
You're a good man. You're a good man, Jim. Thank you so much. Okay, now back to Alvin. And I think we got somebody calling in, Alvin, but somebody's talking to him out there in the control room. But anyway, what I was thinking, you said something about, the stone that is purple and pink? And watermelon and...
It's tourmaline.
Tourmaline.
Yeah, main
and
gemstone.
What's the most... And if you found a piece of tourmaline, you said that you kind of look for the watermelon color?
The tourists that come and the people in Maine really like the watermelon tourmaline. That seems to be the favorite.
Yeah. That's why would they go for that particular color?
Because it's green and red.
Green and red?
Yeah.
We have another caller on the line, Alvin, and are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
What's your name, please?
My name is Tim.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Orono.
From Orono, another caller from Orono.
I want to tell you, I grew up right adjacent to the Plumbago mine over in Norrie, and in fact, one of my relatives owned the Plumbago mine, and talk about tourmaline, he got quite rich on the tourmaline.
No kidding. Alvin is shaking his head yes, so he knows about that, apparently. You got a question for Alvin?
Set was his name. Hey, but I want to ask you, I live in eastern Maine now.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask Alvin if you wanted to go out and my daughter makes jewelry, and if you wanted to go out and get precious metals, or precious gemstones in Maine, where would you go? What would you do? What would you predict? I have connections in eastern and western Maine over in Plumbago in that area, although I have no rights to the mine. But where would you go? What would you do? I'd like to make a hobby of looking for precious stones and having my daughter make jewelry. Where would you go?
The first thing you want to do is join your closest rock club.
Okay.
Okay? And what happens is they take field trips. And they get permission to go into the mines, because when you join the club, you become insured. There's an insurance that covers you. So then the miners will allow you to go in, and the arrangements are made through a trip leader.
Yep.
And you take different trips into the mining areas as a group.
Right.
And that would be the best way to start. And from there, you're going to meet people with similar interests.
Right.
And they're going to show you different things. I mean, we literally have cabbing machines. We have people that show how to make jewelry. We have saws for cutting rocks in our clubhouse.
Yeah.
So this is all something that it's the best way to go. That's how we went. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question? I grew up in Western Maine, but I now live in Eastern Maine. Are there good places in Eastern Maine to also do it, to look, or is it mostly Western Maine?
The biggest part of the gemstones are going to be in Western Maine.
Right, okay.
Simply because that's where they're mining.
Sure, yeah. And gold is mostly in, Swift River. Is that the best? Swift River is the place to look for gold. Is that,
There's gold in all the streams of Maine, as far as I know. And Swift River is the most popular because they've written books on it.
There you go.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful place.
It is.
Bob Lehman would like to catch trout over there, too.
I know. I have caught some over there. There aren't many places I haven't caught trout in the state, I'll tell you that. Hey, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Have a nice night.
Thank you, Bob.
Yep. We have another caller, do we?
We do.
On the line. Are you there, caller?
I am.
Okay, so what's your name, please?
Name's Dave.
And where are you calling from?
West Paris.
West Paris, way over in Western. You must be picking us up on Augusta Station.
101.3.
I am.
Yeah, that's great, sir. Do you have a question for Alvin?
Well, I didn't so much have a question, but I hear a lot of people calling in about how to find minerals. And they might want to think about just not going into the mines at all and prospecting for surface deposits that were exposed by the glaciers up in the mountains.
That's your question?
I've been prospecting all my life, and I find a lot of beautiful things up in the hills where no one's ever been.
Well,
yeah, the problem you have there is a lot of those big landowners, the townships are can be multiply owned, and it becomes really complex as to actually who owns what, and in order to get permission to some of those places, and that's the hard part about some of the places that are out there in the woods.
That's true. You got to be straight with the landowners, or they'll throw you out. Most of the landowners I've ever approached want to go with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm lucky. I was around the old timer miners most of my life. I'm now in my 60s, and I've got hundreds of prospects up in the mountains over here in Western Maine, and the land, it's all straight and above boards. We find a lot of things that there's just some tricks that people can learn to find things out in the woods on their own. And the first thing is just to learn to identify quartz and pegmatite and how to examine it.
Yeah. What would you say to that, Elvin?
That's absolutely correct. And probably the best place to go is, you know, go to your local club, your local rock club, and just go online. And today, that's the easiest way to find them. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're easy on the woods in Maine, you can go up in the National Forest. There are some regulations and rules, and some places you can't go. But there's some magnificent things out there in the Western Maine Mountains if you want to look for them.
Okay, well, you're breaking up, sir. We're breaking up a little bit. We appreciate you calling in, and thank you for your insight, and thank you very much for calling.
Bye.
Okay, goodbye. Have a nice night, sir. Thank you. Alvin, I was telling you earlier, and I didn't finish my conversation because we had to get back on the air during the break, but I said I had some relatives up in Carthage, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
They were relatives, my grandfather and my mother's side. Had a big farm in the bay way back in the early 1900s, real early 1900s, I would say, maybe the late 1800s. And they had this prospector came by one time, and he said, "Do you mind if I prospect on your property?" And they said, no, go ahead. Just check, when you check out, you know, let us know. So he was gone for a day or two, and he came back, and he said, "Sir, I found a lot of nickel on your property, and it's quite valuable. And if you ever sell this, you want to be sure and hold on to the mineral rights." And my grandfather said, "Well, thank you very much for letting me know, sir." Did you ever hear anything like that?
Back when the state of Maine was being developed, there's actually books that were written. And the governor would send out basically geologists to find out what valuable minerals there were in the state. And I've read one of those books, and it's amazing the stuff they found in the state of Maine.
Mm.
Of course, back then they were trying to promote the development of Maine. Today, a lot of those minerals, they know where they are. It's just that in order to get them, they would have to damage the water quality. And so the water quality far supersedes the mineral removal.
Yeah. Well, we never got any money out of it, the descendants, because what happened was he sold the farm, but he reserved the mineral rights,
mm-hmm.
and the mineral rights where they were kept I guess it's the City Hall in Carthage, whatever it was, burned flat with all the records. So that was the end of that.
That was the end of the mineral rights. No silver for you.
No silver for me. No, but there was also silver and nickel. Nickel was the big thing, he said. I never realized there was nickel in Maine. But there's a lot of stuff in Maine that we never realize what's here.
There are actually, there's a number of books in Maine that they studied a lot of different places in Maine. Matter of fact, a lot of the companies did core samples, and in the winter they would actually go on the ice and drill through the ice into the ponds and stuff and get core samples that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of core samples. Yeah.
Yes. So if anybody wants to, you give this fellow, one of the earlier call, a good example, I thought, to join a club.
Yeah. Yeah.
So would you carry on about that a little bit? I think, what would you first do? How would you find out the club that was nearest you? Get on the internet, maybe?
Yeah, you get on the internet and just type in rocks, minerals, clubs, if in the state of Maine. Mm-hmm. And in any state you're in, but in the state of Maine. And there's quite a few clubs. And from there, you just join the club. It's not expensive. And they'll all have field trips. They all basically talk to one another. So we do know what some of the other clubs are doing. And from that, you will gain information. I mean, that's how I learned. I joined the Penobscot Club, and here I am president in 6 years. So,
yeah, and you've also got into raising birds, I know, up in your area up there in Stacyville. You raised, that is, roosters and chickens and so forth.
I raised birds for about 40 years. And
no kidding.
Yeah, when the girls were putting feathers in their hair, I was one of the farms that had those feathers.
That is a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
About llamas, you have llamas too, don't you?
We have one left. Right now we have fainting goats. We have fainting goats, so we use the hair.
They're easy to catch.
About two steps and you got them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had all kinds of goats, and those are about the best ones I've ever had. They can't run away from you.
You must have goat hair for sale and time flies.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You do your own dyeing up there?
I have over 100 different dyes, but we still have to buy a lot of stuff.
I had a shop years ago.
Yes, I've been there.
Many moons ago.
I've been there.
Many moons ago. And I used to get my dyes from England.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the name of that outfit over there? I can't think of it.
Yeah, I
Old
know.
Old English.
No, it's...
anyway.
Yeah, I should know it.
I got my dye from them.
Yeah.
And I try things out.
Yeah.
You know, see how this one works on this particular, and the white ones. I even tried bleaching, and that was bad news for a lot of good necks that I had. Just ruined them.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to rocks and minerals.
Yeah.
And you like, as you told that fellow, you always like to go up in northwestern Maine for your, but there must be other sections of Maine that you like to go to, not down east so much though?
We'll travel. I mean, we'll go 3.5 hours to different mines, you know, when we go
mines?
As a trip. But yeah, the some of the
old mines?
Trips. No, some of them are older mines and some are still active.
Yep.
You went near Bald Mountain at all?
No, I don't go in that area. I'm just not familiar enough with the owners over that way. So I've never been there. A really good one, the town of Auburn has an old mine, and it's on the website. It's got 8 mines, actually, in the same area.
When you think of mines, you think like a hole in the ground.
Yeah, but it isn't.
Into a mountain.
It is.
Like the movie mine.
What it is they've just basically taken big rocks and smashed them into
a big hole in the ground.
No, they just make big rock piles is what most of them are. There is a few, you know, there's a Mount Micah that does have a hole. But most of them are just kind of open pit.
What are they mining for mostly?
Most of them are mining either beryls or tourmaline. They're trying to find tourmaline, but
really?
yeah.
So what do they do with tourmaline?
Well, if you find tourmaline, worth a lot of money.
Industrial work for a job for tourmaline that they could use it in industrial work or something?
No,
like to sell it as
it's a very valuable gemstone.
Valuable gemstone.
Yeah.
There's no diamonds in Maine.
No, not that I know of.
No, you haven't seen any yet.
No.
Africa, I guess, is diamonds, yeah. So they say.
Well, there's a few lead mines in Maine, though.
Yeah, and there are diamonds in the U.S. There's actually a park in the U.S. where you can actually pay and go look for diamonds. It's in southwestern Maine, U.S.
Yeah. Well, we only have a minute left, okay. Alvin, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Been very enlightening. Excellent, I would say. And one of our on about a little different shows rather than hunting and fishing all the time. And I found it very enlightening. I never realized that there were so many clubs and all of these gemstones that are in Maine. And I've always been interested in myself. When I'm fishing, I look down and you automatically look at the stones and say, gee, those are pretty and these are pretty over here. But, you know, I found one once in, what's the river in Farmington? It comes down through Farmington there. I forget the name of it now. But I found a rock shaped just like a baby's a shoe or foot. Not a foot, but like a shoe that would fit a baby. A little rock, and perfectly formed, and I still have it today. I use it as a doorstop. But anyway, thank you so much for being on
thank
the show.
You.
And next week, I don't know who we got coming. You know who we got coming back next week, Norm?
Don't have a clue.
Never
no,
know.
I wasn't
nope.
told, no. So.
Not
anyway,
a clue.
Well, maybe Paul will be back, so I'll be back with Paul. And until then, this is we'll see you next Sunday night on the Maine Outdoors.